Good morning. This is Tracy Hales Bass with Right on Four Corners on KSJE in Farmington, New Mexico. Today I'm talking with Marcia Rosen, the author of the Senior Sleuth Mysteries and her new one, Dead in That Beach House. Good morning, Marcia.
Good morning, Tracy. Thank you for inviting me to be on your show.
Oh, well, thank you for creating the Senior Sleuths.
Yes, indeed.
I certainly did enjoy meeting them.
Thank you.
Give us a little synopsis of who the Senior Sleuths are, and especially Dead in That Beach House.
Oh, yes. Well, the thing is I had written one mystery series. There was four books, Dying to be Beautiful. And then I really wanted to write another, and I love the whole Thin Man series. That, you know, I've watched those movies, black and white movies, several times, and I've always just loved black and white mystery films, and even television, some of the mystery series that are on. And then I combined that with the fact that I just wanted to show that seniors can still be, you know, very exciting, very adventurous. They don't lose their mind once they pass 60.
Right.
They can still think kind of clear, and they can have romance and fun. And so it was a combination of my bringing together seniors, writing mysteries. I've always loved puzzles, so that was the part of always wanting mm-hmm. to write mysteries. And then there's a part of my own history and background and the way that I grew up and people that I was around, and kind of a world where there were strange characters. My father had friends like, I don't know, Johnny the Jig and the Gimp. And so I also wanted to create strange characters that would be like Zero the Bookie and mm-hmm. Frankie Fox. And so that would be kind of fun in the stories. And then creating the mysteries with a combination of, you know, the key characters are, like in The Thin Man, the key characters are Nick and Nora Charles.
Mm-hmm.
So in my book, the key characters are Dick and Dora Zimmerman, followed closely with Zero the Bookie, who has a flair for really wearing crazy fashions. And so that allows, you know, to bring some humor into the stories. And so that was part of it. And the other thing that I really like to do with any of the books that I've been writing, mystery books, this is about the eighth one, is to always have some kind of a message, Tracy.
Mm-hmm.
For one book, it was about, the military people, what they suffer after being in a war and the kind of PTSD. The latest one, it really dealt with elder abuse.
Right.
Because there is such a tremendous amount of that. So I hope I can kind of cover some of those interesting issues in different books. So in The Senior Sleuths, the first one was Dead in Bed, and the second, Dead in Seat 4A, and then the latest one is Dead in That, bold letters, Dead in That Beach House.
Mm-hmm.
And ironically, the one that I'm writing next, Dead in That Storm, takes place in New Mexico. So I think that's, you know, pretty interesting. And having lived there, you know, it's easy to follow, you know, streets and places,
right,
locations, and have a sense of life and people there. So Dead in Bed was, of course, the first murder was with one of the sleuths finding, you know, a person dead in bed. So what did that mean? And, you know, then the whole thing is, how do you find out who the murderer is and deal with, you know, some of the things that people sometimes call red herrings that you lead,
right,
you know, the reader to think that the murderer is somebody that it's absolutely not, and create a series of suspects and fun dialogue and information. So
mm-hmm.
So that's kind of the overview of the Senior Sleuths.
Well, I like that you include or make a part of these issues. Like you said, and you have a lot of facts in there about elder abuse and neglect.
Yes.
I thought that was fascinating. And then you have a great balance of humor and characterization, great, funny, but real characters, and then some factual issues there.
Yes, I think it's really, at least for me, it's important, because I think there are so many things we all deal with in life, and these were some of the things that meant something to me, and especially the issue of elder abuse. And in fact, I think it's really kind of timely, Tracy, because now with so many people in because of COVID-19, mm-hmm. Seniors in senior homes are not allowed to have visitors. But I've been told by some people who are nurses and deal in the medical community that this is really a tough time. Some seniors are being abused by family and mm-hmm. others. And so I think it's an important message. I hope that it gets out in some way, because I think it really matters.
I think it does, too. And another point that you brought up was that seniors are abused in ways financially through, like you said, the real estate company trying to take advantage.
Oh, absolutely.
And that's a real thing, yeah.
All that, I really did a lot of research on this kind of thing, mm-hmm. you know, just like, you know, I did a lot of research rather on, you know, on special trust funds and, you know, what real estate trust funds are and understanding them. A woman who does some editing for me and is an attorney, so she mm-hmm. looks at it and said, well, this can happen, but this can't happen
Good.
Legally and so forth.
Yeah.
But, you know, there are people, seniors in their home that people leave and take their belongings. They take their checks and write checks or cash mm-hmm. their, those who are not smart enough to just have it mailed and put into their bank mm-hmm. account, they'll cash their Social Security check. There are a lot of things, and there's just a really unfortunate, a lot of nice, not nice people who do some really unkind things.
So do you get the idea of the issue or the story first?
I think I usually get the idea of the story first.
Mm-hmm.
And I've taught a lot of writing classes,
mm-hmm.
and one of the things that's come up a lot, and I think, you know, you've had probably similar experiences working with writers, is, you know, do you plan ahead? Do you, you know what your chapters are going to be? Do you know
right.
what the whole book is going to be about? Or do you just do it organically? And that's really what I do. I mean, I know that Dick and Dora and Zero are going to be involved.
Mm-hmm.
I know there's going to be more than one murder. I know there's going to be some other characters and all kind of scene, you know, that place is also character and how to describe
right.
that. But I'm not sure. You know, some of it just comes along as I'm writing it, and that just seems to be the way my process is.
Well, it seems to work.
Well, it has been, and it is kind of fun.
Mm-hmm.
I have an older son who once said to me, why don't you write something other than mysteries and murdering people? I go, I just really like this. That's all I
right.
can tell you. I don't know what else, but that's just what I like. Okay, so
I'm glad you do.
Me too. People, I mean, it's like one of murder mysteries and romance novels are like the two top best-selling kind of genres that people buy.
That's right. That, well, we all like them. We want to.
We do, don't we?
Solve the puzzles, like you said. So yes.
Yeah, exactly. I think puzzles, all kinds of puzzles, are interesting, and
mm-hmm.
and in books they're quite fascinating to
They
do.
Are. But you've also written The Gourmet Gangsters.
That was a single book.
Oh,
yes,
okay.
And I actually did that. Well, the first series I wrote was four books, was Dying to Be Beautiful,
mm-hmm.
and then this is three for the Senior Sleuths. And I'm working on the fourth one.
Okay.
And then a separate standalone was The Gourmet Gangster, which I actually did with my younger son,
hmm.
who's pretty much, he's a home cooking gourmet chef.
Oh.
And we've always joked because his mom, me, does not like to cook. And so he goes, he learned to cook to, you know, save himself. It's like, well, you didn't grow to be 6'2" because I starved you.
Exactly.
So, okay. So I wrote the mysteries. It's a series of mystery stories with a couple of the main characters, mainly the gourmet gangster and his boss, who is a mobster that owns a restaurant where he works. And my son did all the recipes.
Oh.
And so, yeah, it was really kind of fun. And, like,
mm-hmm.
You know, one of the stories, I think I can remember, was called, you know, something like Dead Duck. And so he wrote a duck recipe.
I love it. That's great.
Yeah, so that was a standalone that we did. We thought about doing another one down the road.
Good.
Yes, thank you.
And you're in the process of writing the number 4 of the Senior Sleuth Mysteries.
I am. I'm in the process of writing two things. One is the Senior Sleuth's number 4, which is dead in a storm.
Mm-hmm.
And the storm, and it takes place in actually New Mexico. And the whole thing is about, you know, that there are all kinds of storms in life. You know, it's not
right.
That there's just the weather storm. We have storms in relationships, and, you know, a storm, we feel like, you know, danger is coming. And so what kind of storm is headed into our life? And I think this one is really, you know, maybe I'm thinking that the issue piece of it is about, you know, tolerance and people being able to tolerate others who are different than them.
Great.
Which feels kind of timely to
it
me.
It does,
so,
yes.
Yeah, and then I'm working on a totally separate one. I had written, which I had won some kind of an award for, which was very fun, my memoir workbook that people...
Oh, yes.
I had taught a lot of memoir writing classes, and finally I just took all of this stuff and put it into a workbook. And I'm actually working on one very similar called Now Writing From Your Soul, Writing From My Soul. So, and that would also be probably some kind of a workbook. Yeah. One of the things that I've often read about, and I read about other authors, is that authors who are really keep at it, they're often working on 2 or 3 projects at a time.
Yes.
And I know not everyone can do that. I just, mm-hmm. I like doing that, I guess.
It's interesting because some say they can't do that, and others
right.
say they can. And I think working on fiction and then a nonfiction, I can see how you would switch brain activity to do that, and that could be interesting.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think that allows some balance, you know, in terms of doing each of them. And it takes you away, each when you're working on one, it's giving you a break from the other in some
right.
way. And I've been involved with a couple events and talking, you know, in author groups, and that we've been doing meetings online, obviously,
mm-hmm.
through Zoom. And they're concerned about a lot of writers at this point are feeling, because of the virus, because of being stuck in, they're really having a problem being motivated to write. So I really, really don't want to let that happen.
Right.
So I just keep doing that, right?
Right.
Thank you.
Yeah, I've heard
yeah.
other people not writing. You know, it seems like it would be a good time. And I have been writing, but there are a lot of people who just can't do it right now.
Right. Well, I was really thinking about that, and I think certainly some of it is emotional, you know, feeling stuck in, feeling that you can't connect to friends and family like
mm-hmm.
you had, or go out for dinner and stuff. But I think there's another kind of practical part of it that I started thinking about, is there's a reality. You can't go in and do book signing events.
Mm-hmm.
You can't go to writing conferences.
Right.
So it's this whole thing, how do you promote your book? What kind of way do you, you know, provide exposure about
mm-hmm.
your work? So there are some ways to do it, but not everyone wants to do that.
There's a new learning curve with technology these days.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I work with several other authors, and I worked with one author I was on this morning. She's from New York. And I said, you know, about doing Zoom events and just to download the Zoom app. I mean, really, you would think I was asking her to, you know, fly the plane to China all by herself or something. I was like, this is not that complicated.
Right.
But it is for some people, I
it
guess.
Is.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's a frightening thing for some people.
It is.
Yeah.
Yes. Especially older people.
Right. So do you write full time?
No, you know, well, I mean, it is full time in the sense that I either writing full time, or I'm helping the few authors that I work with, or
mm-hmm.
I'm doing marketing for the book. So, you know, I used to, in fact, in Albuquerque, I had a full service marketing public relations agency.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, obviously I don't do that anymore, but, you know, my brain is totally geared to marketing.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I constantly think about how to market the book, how to market things for my clients, what's new in marketing, you know, like really now a great marketing talk is about, you know, how to market a book through podcasting and Zoom options. So I do spend time with that, but I really do find time in between to eat chocolate. That's really, that's a really important issue, right?
Yes, absolutely. But it's true, I think, that one of the hardest parts of writing is the marketing.
Yeah.
It's like,
I mean, you have to spend as much time, if not more, marketing your book, and even more so now. And a lot of writers, and I understand that, they want to write. They don't want to have anything to do with the marketing.
Exactly.
But you know what? Even if your book is published by, you know, McGraw-Hill or Simon & Schuster, you still have to do some of your own marketing.
It's true. I don't think people realize that. The days of courting the newest writer just aren't there anymore.
Right. Well, a really good friend of mine back east was my agent for a while, and she's retired. And we've talked about this, and she said, you know, it's so frustrating because years ago an agent would go to any of the big houses, which there was like 20 of them, and now it's down to maybe five. And you would pitch an editor or a couple editors about, she would pitch them about, you know, book or books that she had. And she said, it doesn't work that way anymore.
Right.
You can pitch them, but the decisions are made by the marketing people in the houses.
Yep.
And the question is, can they market this book? Is there a market for it? You know, will the author participate in the marketing?
That's the bottom line these days. Having talent and being able to complete the novel are only part of it.
Right. And, you know, I have people that I work with who are, they're very willing to pay for help with marketing their book. But I've had people over the years that, you know, they maybe can't afford it, or they don't want to spend the money. Some just, I've had a couple who just think, you know, people are going to find their book and, you know, they don't have to do anything. And it's like, okay, maybe, maybe so.
Right.
So it is a difficult kind of scenario to look at the whole marketing aspect of writing.
That's great that you have that aspect and experience in it.
Yes, well, I'm lucky I have that skill from all those years of owning the agency. I think that's the benefit for sure.
You said that you're balancing all these projects now. Do you have a definite time of day that you sit down to write?
I do. Oh, yes. For me, mostly it's mornings. I'm much better in the morning. I'm much clearer in the morning. So that's when I will do it mostly. And I'm not like the people who get up and write from 5 to 8 a.m. or something like that. But I'm, you know, maybe 7:30 or 8, and I'll write, you know, either I'm writing or doing the marketing for a few hours. I've discovered in the winter months when it's dark so early, I know a lot of people don't like that. It doesn't bother me at all.
Oh.
I'll find that I can go back and work on writing for a couple hours, you know, 5 to 7 or something like that. So that, not all the time and not every day, but I've discovered, you know, first of all, one of the things is it's quieter then, you know. Tend to, friends not necessarily calling, or but maybe a couple people or a few people I'm working with, and although people are sending emails, we know all times a day and everything. But I am better in the morning, except I sometimes like in those winter months to do that at times.
There are a lot of people that like to write in the morning, but there's others that go for the afternoon. So I think it's personal, whatever works.
Oh, absolutely. I've had a woman back east who's worked with me and been an editor with me and for people I work with for 15, 20 years. And we joke that we probably have an hour a day that we can really connect, you know, like, I don't know, 3 in the afternoon, something like that, because she's a night owl.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I'll get emails from her from something she's edited from me from 2 or 3 in the morning.
Oh.
And it was like, don't call me. I don't want to talk to you then. Yeah, so that's her rhythm. That's what she can do. I always found it fascinating with her, but we found a common ground to accept how each other works. And,
that's good. And that's what you got to do. That.
Yeah, it is. Thank you.
Now, one thing you mentioned earlier is how setting is a character.
And I think it is.
Yeah, I do too. And Dead in That Beach House is set in the Hamptons.
Yes, and I have lived in the Hamptons so for like 14 years, so it's very familiar to me.
Yeah.
And the lifestyle is familiar, and the kind of people are familiar, and the kind of behavior, you know, the very a sense of almost, you know, hubris in so many ways.
Right.
And, you know, a sense of entitlement, and obviously not everybody, but, you know, there was so much of that in that environment. And the other thing was also living there all that time was the ability to, you know, you're going someplace, you know, if you turn right, you're headed to the beach, and if you turn left, you're going to town, or you're going over this bridge to see this. And so I think it helps you to create place as a character and make it something that the reader can envision.
The other part of the setting in this one is the farmhouse in Ames, is that where it is?
Oh, right, yeah. That was total my imagination. I did go online and look it up, but I've never been to Ames, Iowa. And I've never lived on a farmhouse. I really are in a farmhouse. But I think if you do the right research, that can help.
I do too. I don't know that a lot of people realize, those who don't write fiction may not realize how much research goes into writing fiction.
Oh, I think I don't think they have any idea.
Right.
I mean, I think they think you sit down with a paper and pencil and, you know, you sit in bed at night and write your book over two nights and you're done or something.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I don't think they really have an idea. And I think to do it right and to make a place seem like it's real or right, you do need to do some research and have a sense of what the place is like.
To describe it.
Yes.
As well as you do, too.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, of course, when you live someplace like in the Hamptons or other places, like the first book, Dead in Bed. So Dead in Bed actually takes place in New York City. So before I had moved to the Hamptons, I lived in Manhattan for a number of years, which I absolutely love and, you know, was able to say, you know, if you turn right, you're going to be down past the museums and this place and that or the shops or these restaurants or stuff. So I think, you know, that really helps as well.
And you've spent time in Albuquerque, too, where you're setting the next one, correct?
Well, I not only spent time in Albuquerque, I mean, I lived in Albuquerque actually twice. I lived there the first time. I had been married, and I lived there for 6 years. And then before I moved to California, where I am now, I lived for a couple of years. And I am ironically moving back to Albuquerque sometime in the next few months. My younger son and his family literally are in the car on their way driving to move to Albuquerque. I know. I want to email him, where are you? I go, you know, just leave him alone. He'll let you know soon enough. Definitely. You know, we just decided for a variety of reasons that's where we wanted to be. And so I've spent enough time there to think about and remember, you know, what it would be that I'd like to write about or what the story would be or why, you know, and, you know, one of the main characters, Zero, has, you know, he had fallen, he was older and he met someone and he met a woman from an Indian reservation named Cloud and they got married. And so they're back in New Mexico and the things that develop from some situations like that.
Yeah, I'm eager to see Zero and the Zimmermans, and then Frankie is a great character too.
I love Frankie Sox.
Yes.
Well, Frankie Sox had been, especially if you read the first book, Dead in Bed, that's where, you know, it really kind of fills it out. But, you know, he had been in the witness protection program. Dick, who of course had been an attorney, had helped him eventually come back, you know, after the people who were after him, you know, were no longer around and stuff like that. So Frankie Sox felt obligated to kind of watch over them. And so there were times he was able to protect them and stuff like that.
Yeah, he has a pretty good role in Dead in That Beach House.
Yeah, that's right. He does follow them out there.
Yep.
Well, he drives them out there where they had been in the city, and he drives them out there, and and he gets together with his old cronies out there. So, yes, that's right.
I love it. There's so many elements to this one with the witchcraft and with Frankie's help and Zero's help and the research that the couple does and their kids, Lily and Jade.
Right, yes. I'm glad you read it and found all that. I appreciate it. I really do.
Oh, yeah.
Because it does take a lot of time to think about it and then, you know, create the characters and then you know this and then weave them all together.
Right.
Which is kind of fun. You know, I think that's part of the fun process of, as we write, you know, to do that.
Yep.
I'm really fascinated. I don't know if you ever watched the PBS murder mysteries, like Midsummer Murders.
Yes.
So there's a couple others, Morse, you know, which is wonderful. And they all, I mean, I just feel by the time I watch them that I don't have enough characters. They have so many characters and possibilities, but it's so well written and they're so well acted. So they're a great inspiration for me to watch them.
It really lends to the, like you said, the puzzle. I like that comparison.
That's right, yes.
Your website is theseniorsleuth.com.
Yes.
And where can our listeners find your books?
They can certainly find the book on Amazon or barnesandnoble.com. Almost any independent bookstore can order the book if they haven't got it. Because, of, you know, it's through Level Best Books, the publisher.
Okay.
So they're a traditional publisher, so most bookstores can order it because of that. And they would be able to, as I said, go into their local independent bookstore or so many people still, you know, Amazon online. But I do like that a lot of people are still going to their local bookstores and supporting them, which I think a great thing to do.
Yes.
But, you know, this is so fun talking to you about this and being able to, you know, just go over the ideas of writing and what the senior sleuths are about and why they're about, in fact.
Well, I certainly enjoyed meeting them. I feel like I have some new friends in the Zoom.
Well, I'm glad. I'm glad you do. And when the one in the Hamptons is finally written, I will send you a copy.
Oh, great. Please do that.
I will. Thank you so much, Tracy.
And thank you. And that was Marcia Rosen talking about the Senior Sleuth Mysteries and her latest Dead in That Beach House. This is Tracy Hales-Vass with Right on Four Corners on KSJE in Farmington, New Mexico.